big screen moments, and now we're looking at 24. How many of you have seen the TV series 24? But what's the whole thing about 24? It's really a political thriller, and it's quite captivating. The storylines are quite exciting, but it's essentially talking about the 24-hour cycle. And I guess sometimes we can forget as believers how we all are given exactly the same amount of time. But it's what we do with it that impacts our life. And the scripture today is from the Psalms, the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 113, verse 3, which says, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised." You know, so many people don't even see the rising of the sun. Come on, if you're honest, how many people actually wake up with the sun? But when we do, from the rising to the setting, it really talks about a continuum, that praise and our focus on God should run throughout the 24-hour cycle. It should be woven in to our lives from the time the sun comes up to the time the sun goes down, from the beginning of our day to the end of the day. That continuum of praise, the inclination of our hearts towards God. Apparently, according to science, how we begin our day impacts our whole day. What we do in the first 27 minutes of our day sets the course for our whole day. Quite a revelation. I mean, there's the science behind that. So, you know, when people say they got up on the wrong side of the bed, I mean, they really got up grumpy. And they're going to have a grumpy day because that's how they started their day. So there's fact, you know, that statement comes from. So how do you begin your day? What's the first thing that you do in the morning when you wake up? What's the first inclination of your own heart? Where does it take you? What do you do? What's the direction of that praise, of that sense of, wow, this is a new day? You know, so often it can be, oh no, it's Monday and you have all of this thing to do, or, oh dear, it's raining. You know, I've got to face the rain, or whatever it is. What are our first, or with this modern age of technology, it's checking the phone, right? Come on, you know, checking for messages and checking, you know, whatever else it is people check on their phones. But what is the first thing that you do? Because that is going to really impact your life. And the Bible says that may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And there's such a misconception about the word meditation, because I really feel, especially in India, we've been robbed of the truth of meditation. Come on. Why? Because we perceive it to be something that is not of God. Because we see people, we hear people either chanting, or we see people meditating, or we see gurus, or we see spiritual leaders, and that whole word meditation with that incense and meditating conjures up those images, and we think, oh no, that's not us, you know. Do you know what I mean? But meditation is actually a deeply spiritual and Christian practice that we have lost the art of. So what does it actually mean to meditate? To meditate means to focus one's mind for a period of time in silence with the aid of either chanting or spiritual words. So it's to focus our minds for a set period of time in silence. It actually means that we turn our attention and the focus of our thinking onto a supreme being. And, you know, we hear people chanting and we have this whole sense of negativity around chanting, but you know the children of Israel? They chanted. Because when they were facing an impossible situation with the walls of Jericho, what did they do? What did Joshua command them to do? But they shouted the same thing. They shouted the same thing. They didn't think it, right? They had to speak it. They had to declare it. And they had to declare the same thing all the time for the Lord. He is good. They were not declaring, oh, the walls, they are tall. Right? No. They were chanting, they were declaring who God was. Just a statement for the Lord. He is good. They were not focused on the wall. The wall was a reality. It was there. They could see it. They were circling it. Every day, they did the same thing. But he said, no chitter-chatter. None of that business. You say the same thing. You declare it. You don't think it. You declare it every single day. And as you do it, the walls will come down. So often in our own lives, we look at our difficulties, we look at our challenges, and we look at our situations and we say, oh, our walls, they are huge. What will happen to us? That's when worry takes away that sense of declaring. Another word for chanting, I think, is declaring. But declaring in a repetitive manner. So we remind ourselves consistently, for the Lord, He is good. And in the morning, when one of the first things in that first 27 minutes, if we choose to do that, with breathing properly. You know, when you take proper breaths, what does it do to your body? It takes oxygen that your body needs, and it transports it to every cell in your body. That's the science. And you know what? We all need oxygen. And we need a lot of it. And so often, because of worry or stress, we are shallow breathing. We're not deep breathing. We have lost the art of breathing deeply and focusing our mind on who God is and allowing His presence to so fill our body, the same way the oxygen runs through our body, that we feel God's presence and His peace and His stillness in spite of our walls, flood ourselves. So then we can start our day, no matter what the challenges the day may bring, but we're focused right. Our mind is in the right place. We go from a can't do to a can do. We go from saying, difficulties to seeing opportunities and challenges. We go from thinking, oh no, I don't know what's going to happen to my business. Where am I going to get customers from? Yes, we can do it. We can go out there. God is with us. He will make a way. Because we're not focusing on the impossibilities. We're focusing on the fact that God is with us and that we can actually do it. When we meditate, we concentrate on God's goodness. We concentrate on who He is. It's stilling our hearts. It's stilling ourselves so that we actually concentrate on the greatness, the awesomeness of who God is. You know, there's a cardiologist called Dr. Benson from the Harvard Medical School. And for three decades, the amount of time I've been married to Ian, three decades, he has been studying and researching the health effects of meditation. And there's a very interesting thing that he says. And he says, any condition that's caused or worsened by stress can be alleviated through meditation. any condition, whether it's high metabolism, whether it's high blood pressure, whether it's the heart rate not being right, whether it's whatever it is, any condition that is caused, and you know, science tells us a lot of medical conditions are caused by stress. And any condition that is caused by stress or worsened by stress can be alleviated through meditation. That is why the Bible tells us, meditate on His word, day and night. He commands us to meditate because God knows when we meditate, our bodies function properly. It removes that stress. It removes that anxiety. It doesn't change the situation. Those walls were still there for the children of Israel. But they were meditating on who God was. They were declaring who God was. They were saying it right at the beginning of their day. And if we do that, then a lot of our medical issues will just disappear. I mean, it's incredible. For 3 decades, science proves that your blood pressure can be lowered. They did MRI scans on people while they were meditating. And they found they could actually see on the scans the impact that meditation was having. God made us. Come on. He knows how we're wired. He knows what stress does to us. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all, not a little, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in every single way, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge, declare who He is, and He will make your path straight. God knows what He's saying to us. And when we align ourselves with what His word says, we will find sickness will be reduced in our life. High blood pressure can become normal. Not low. We don't want low blood pressure either. No, we don't want low. We want normal. Right? All of these sicknesses, I mean, so many things. So much of our problems with our gut as well is caused by anxiety and stress. Why? Because we see the worst case situation. Worst case scenario, that's what anxiety is. It's looking at the situation and it's seeing the worst. And it's imagining that that is what is happening. It's like the children of Israel going down, going round the walls of Jericho, imagining all of those people defeating them because they were so strong and the Israelites were so weak. If they had done that, they would never have conquered. Even though God was with them. But God was with them. They went round their giants. They went round their walls. And they declared, they meditated, they proclaimed who God was to them. You know, our mind is a battlefield. That's why it's so important to set our mind right at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. The battle is in the mind. God's truth about who you are is conflicting with what you feel about yourself, or what you see, hear other people say about you, or what the enemy is speaking to you about yourself. That's a conflict, right? You don't want to trust what God says about you because you see the reality of your own weaknesses or your own challenges or your own difficulties. But life's battles are won or lost in the mind. Your life and the trajectory of your life will be good, will be prosperous, will be effective, or it will be frustrated, ineffective, based on the conversations that happen in your mind. If you can think right, if you can focus, which is why God says, meditate on my word. Don't meditate on our circumstances. Meditate on His Word. And you know what? It doesn't come automatically. None of us are designed to sit still for any length of time and simply meditate. Come on. It's a challenge, right? It's a challenge. So when you wake up in the morning and you incline your heart towards God and you decide, you know, Lord, I know they say 27 minutes, but let me just start with 5. 5 minutes. And that's my challenge to us as a church this morning. 5 minutes every morning and 5 minutes before we go to bed. 5 minutes, be intentional. It means you stop what you're doing. Well, you're not doing anything because you were asleep, right? So it's the first thing you're doing is you're waking up, but you're pausing. 5 minutes. You're breathing deeply and you're choosing a scripture to focus your mind on. A scripture because that is the truth of God's word. I love that scripture, "For the Lord is good," because I think that it comes against any situation in my life, any difficulty I may have to go through that day. Because it's facing and it's allowing my mind to focus on the fact that no matter if the world or my circumstances are bad, the Lord, He is good. And His mercies, they endure forever. They are new every morning. His mercy, it is new every morning. That means I get a fresh dose of His mercy. I get a fresh dose of His grace. God, I thank You that You are good. And as I breathe, take deep breaths. I mean, you know, 5 minutes is a long time. Seriously. You may think, oh, 5 minutes. Kar sakta hai. You try. Tomorrow, 5 minutes. Just not doing it. First, you'll be thinking of all the things you have to do. You have to get ready. You have to do this. You know, ye karna hai, wo karna hai, wo karne ka. No, 5 minutes. Just try it. Pause. Deep breathe and think of a scripture. Whatever scripture, ask God for a scripture. Lay hold of one script, just one scripture, one sentence, not like saying the whole Psalm 23. One scripture. Even if it means the first verse of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if we focus on that in the morning, the Lord, thank you, Lord, you're my shepherd. I shall not want. No matter what challenges I face in this day, I'm not going to walk in want. I'm going to walk in the abundance of your mercy and your grace upon me today, for today. I don't ask you for tomorrow. I don't think of yesterday. For today, God, I thank you that you are my shepherd today, that you are going to enable me to walk green pastures. You know, then you can go from 5 minutes to 27 minutes if you continue the whole Psalm 23, you know. But that's how we start our focus, our day. And when you do that, trust me, your 24 hours, they go well. And when you end the day, if you take 5 minutes to refocus again, God, I thank you that you truly are faithful. In spite of the challenges, you have been good and your mercy has been upon me. And I want to thank you. There's something about gratitude that changes our perspective. When we are grateful to God, in spite of the difficulties, I'm not going to say that everything is going to go well every day, because it won't. That's just life. But we thank Him in spite of our circumstances. So we end our day and we begin our day with that 5 minutes of changing our direction towards God. Right? That makes a big difference. Another thing besides meditation I want to talk quickly about this morning is journaling. That's a discipline that actually, you know, God told Moses to do it. He said, you go write about this journey. Why? Because I want my people to know and remember how I've been faithful to them. So that if ever there are challenges, you can just go back and look and say, wow, God has been so good. And you know, it takes real discipline to journal. How many of you journal? It takes discipline to journal. It takes discipline. It may be only 5 minutes, but you have to make a decision to do that. And most people stop journaling because they don't really see the impact journaling has. So traditionally, I journal a lot. That's just the way I'm kind of wired and disciplined. And I don't write volumes, you know. Even if it's just three sentences, it's like good enough for me. It's always been a challenge. I think one of the challenges most people have in journaling is privacy, because you don't want anybody to read it, right? It's your journal. So you have to set clear boundaries so that the journal really is your own, and you know, people don't happily go through your journal. But anyway, I have journals for kind of each year, and it really reminds me of how faithful God has been. When I read back and I look at my old journals and I see, and recently I found that in the market today, they are doing journals that are five-year journals. Can you believe it? So on one page, it's got five spaces. So you can write the three lines or four lines every year on the same page. Do you get it? How powerful that is? Because when I'm going to write, now it's 2019 next year, but in 2020, when I write in January 1, I am actually looking at what God did and spoke to me January 1, 2019. And in 2021, when I'm doing the same thing on January 1, I'm looking, oh wow, that's what God said in 2019. That's what he said in 2020. And here we are. Yay, God, in 2021. And it's 5 years. 5 years on one page. Isn't that incredible? Immediately, it brings the discipline of journaling into focus because you can see the benefit. On that same page, how many of you know what you did this day last year? You will if you journal and you do a five-year journal. You'll soon be able to tell what you did for 5 years. And it will encourage you. So if you're going through a hard time and you think, wow, 4 years ago, this is where I was, this is what God said, and he's been so good, he's been so faithful. These disciplines in our lives, in the 24 hours that we have, they don't take time. To journal a paragraph takes 5 minutes. So if you meditate for 5 minutes in the morning, and you meditate for 5 minutes at night, and you journal for 5 minutes at night, you are taking 15 minutes out of your day. But let me tell you, it will change your world. It will completely change your world. Try it. Try it. I was thinking, you know, actually for Life 2019, we should print our own version of this five-year journal and give one to each person. So there will be no excuse for not journaling. Everybody gets a journal, and we all use it so that we can see and we can declare to ourselves how good God is, so that we won't believe the lies of the enemy. We won't believe the lies that other people speak to us. Because the battle is won or lost in our mind. When we refocus our mind, morning and the evening, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And we praise God when we declare who he is in our circumstance, in our situation. That's us declaring his praise. When you say, God, you are good. God, your mercies are new. It's lowering your blood pressure. It's making that go well. It's keeping disease and sickness away from you. It's de-stressing your body. It's helping you to walk in faith and not in fear. When you journal, it's reminding you of who God is, his promises. God promises you something through his word today. Write it in your five-minute journal. And 2 years later, when you see what you wrote, you think, oh my God, I can't believe. I have that all the time when I look at my journals. I think, I can't believe. God actually did that. God was so good. I didn't deserve it, but he keeps his word. And then I have proof. I don't forget. Because honestly, if I didn't go back to my journal, I could forget so much of how good God is. So 24 hours is something we've all been given. And if you're living your life wishing you had 26 hours, you have to reevaluate your whole life. Seriously, I've had seasons in my life when I was hoping for 26 hours. And those were the seasons in my life when I was out of balance. If you're hoping for 26 hours, your life is out of balance. Because 24 hours is what God has set. He has put the sun in place. He has put all the planets in place. He has set things. He set the moon. He's caused the day and the night. He set that 24 hours for you to live your best within that. If you want more time, your life is not right. You have to reevaluate the whole thing because that 24 hours is good. So let's make the most of the 24 hours that God gives us. And when we do, we find that our week, our day, our week, a month, a year, our 5 years goes really well. Amen. We can trust Him. You know, God is just so worthy of our trust. And when we walk according to His word and His principles, we live our blessed and really blessed life. And when we live a blessed life, we attract all the goodness that He has for us. Amen. Father, we thank You that You have a good plan and a good purpose for each one of us. And as we commit to focusing on You, we would really see You working in and through us, that we would find Your peace, that as Your word says, the signs of the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that we would live lives that are right with You, right with others. We would live lives that are full of peace, and we would live lives that are full of joy in You. Thank You, Lord, that those three things would mark us, would set us apart as Your people in this generation. We thank You and we pray You would give us this grace and the strength to live our lives every 24-hour cycle to our best for You. In Jesus' mighty name.